Welcome to the September 6, 2019 edition, episode 2 of the Weather Seekers podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the National Weather Service in Juneau, where we cover all things weather for Southeast Alaska. We have another full episode with a discussion on forecasting fog coming up, as well as an answer to this week's listener question. But first, let's not waste your time. We know why you're here, the forecast. And joined in our makeshift studio, we asked Nicole from the forecast desk to give us the rundown of the forecast this weekend. Nicole, I hear you bring good news for summer lovers out there, but give us the nitty-gritty.
That's right, Wes. A large portion of the panhandle will see highs reaching the 70s again this weekend.
Wow, that could continue the record number of days for Juneau. How much are we at right now?
True, we've had 45 70-degree days so far this year in Juneau. That's at the Juneau Airport. That breaks the previous record of 42 days.
Good grief. So basically, we're just extending the record.
Yeah, with each day, basically.
Oh my gosh. So that can only mean one thing. If I'm an outdoor lover, I mean, I've got to wear short sleeves again, particularly during the day, right?
For sure. Especially, yeah, late afternoon. Definitely a great time to get outdoors this weekend.
I want some motorcycle riding in my future.
Hey, you see my bike out there today.
Yeah, I do. All right. Well, so that's for the northern half of the panhandle. So that would include Haines,
yep.
Hoonah, Gustavus, Yakutat, Juneau. What about the south, Ketchikan?
They're under a bit more cloud cover today, Friday especially. Then Saturday and Sunday, there should be mostly cloudy to cloudy skies, and then slightly fewer clouds on Sunday. So we are forecasting highs in the upper 60s on Saturday, and then several places getting into 70s on Sunday. But their record highs are quite a bit higher. Mm-hmm. The northern half of the panhandle, we are predicting records.
Okay.
We're looking at several places to break the record high across the northern inner channels especially.
So with that, I know especially the southern panhandle, they still need rain. Any chance of any showers?
They're getting a little spits and sputters today. Slight chance of showers tomorrow, but it's very localized and not really enough to put too much of a dent in the drought down there.
Well, that's sad news, but at least they have an opportunity like the north to get outside and enjoy Southeast.
Mm-hmm, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Nicole. I know you're really busy out there, so I'll let you get back out.
And glad to be here.
Thank you. So now you've heard the weekend forecast for September 7th through 8th, we can get on with our second feature. The calendar is turned to September, and that inevitably means longer nights and something Alaskans are very accustomed to, fog. Well, hello. My name is Wes, and we're joined here by Nicole, who's a lead forecaster in Juneau, and you've been here since
2011.
And we've got Jake, who is a meteorologist here, and Jake, you've been here since 2016?
Very early 2016. Like, I got here at the end of January, so.
Has it been 3 years of Jake already?
Gee whiz.
You guys have had to deal with me for 3 years.
And then Rick, you are one of our senior leads. How long have you been here?
More like senior citizen. 2016.
Six.
I'm right 2006.
I'm right behind you, Rick. Yeah. All right, and today's topic is fog, because fog has been in the forecast lately. Everyone out there knows what fog is and when they can see it. We don't really have to explain what fog is, but really, it's common here. What is fog really?
A cloud that's touching the ground, I think, is a pretty simple way to describe it.
Yeah, that's probably my best definition as well, just very low-lying cloud that, you know, it's either touching the ground or just above it.
So, Rick, I'm going to ask you this since you're the pilot. And clouds along mountains are not very friendly to pilots because they obscure where the mountains are. Is that considered fog or is that just clouds? Or
in that regard, usually you come across a pilot who's in that kind of a situation where you're in elevated terrain, like the mountains. And normally a pilot will say, oh, that's just a low cloud. And stated a little bit differently, when a pilot thinks fog, they're really thinking about at the airport.
Okay.
Or in the case of Southeast Alaska, if you happen to be on a float plane and you're trying to bring the mail to Elfin Cove, if the fog happens to be on the water, that's still fog. The idea being that wherever you're trying to land or take off from, and the low cloud is touching the ground, like Nicole said, in the fog. But at altitude, like say when I'm flying around the mountains of Admiralty Island, I don't think of it as fog. If it's touching the mountains, I just think of it as, oh, stay away from that.
Okay. For obvious reasons, because planes don't get along with mountains that well, especially at high speeds.
Yes.
Yeah. So Nicole and Jake, you two have been working the forecast desk the last few days. And obviously, for people who've been up in the mornings, fog has been the number one issue and the number one challenge in the forecast this week. Tell us about the fog, and for that matter, the low ceilings around the Alaska Panhandle.
So, you know, the fog has been pretty widespread. It has ranged everywhere from, you know, Yakutat all the way down to Annette Island. So pretty much everyone has seen in some way, shape, or form, you know, even in Haines and Skagway, where they don't get it as often, it's come in just not dense like we've been seeing everywhere else. So dense fog has probably been our biggest hazard this week. And a lot of that has to do with the time of year that we're kind of shifting into, which would be fall. And in Southeast Alaska, fall and a lot of times kind of our late winter, early spring really favor it. And there's a lot of contributing factors for why that is. But the reason we're getting it right now is because we had all this rain last weekend, early this week. Lots of moisture came in, and then we started to clear out, which that really favors fog development in Southeast Alaska.
Particularly in the mornings, because that's when the temperature falls to the dew point, which basically just is to say that it becomes saturated right around dawn. And so we frequently see fog forming just after sunrise. So it makes it even harder to forecast, because it's sort of just develops suddenly many times and then just gets worse through the morning. And then, like Jake was saying, the moisture on the ground is really a big, obviously something that's very needed. So the outgoing tide, if that happens to occur around the same time of daybreak, then all of a sudden you're adding, with our tide changes here, 10 to sometimes 20 feet of damp ground.
Mm.
And we look at the tide changes quite a bit to determine if that's going to be adding to the fog formation potential.
Especially locally. Now, Jake touched on a topic, and I'm going to direct this to you. He mentioned dense fog. What is dense fog? Is it specifically defined, or is it just, you know, pea soup? You can't see through it.
Sure. Yeah, fog can be patchy or in a much larger area, but the definition of dense fog is when the visibility falls to about a quarter mile. So you really can't see like across a channel or even across a runway, you know, the length of a runway, you can't see to the other side. And that becomes very dangerous and impactful to all forms of transportation, aviation travel especially, but even, you know, if you're driving down the road or marine travel, you'll hear barges and whatnot. If the dense fog is over the water, you'll hear them using the fog horn at that point. Chances are if it's a mile visibility, they've got enough line of sight. But once it gets dense, that's when you start to hear those fog horns.
And I think anyone who resides close to cruise ship docks, whether in Ketchikan or Juneau, they always know when it's foggy early because they do hear those fog horns. And, you know, you also mentioned the fog. Fog affects our partner, the Alaska Marine Highway System, as well. I know that occasionally it can get thick in the Wrangell Narrows down around Petersburg. And, you know, it is a serious issue. Let's see. We talked about dense fog, and you said around a quarter mile or less visibility. So, Rick, you mentioned low ceilings versus fog. Do they impact us equally?
A ceiling is defined as either a broken or overcast layer above you. through which you're not allowed to fly unless you're on an instrument flight plan. And so that's where the phrase instrument conditions, or IFR or IMC, comes from. IFR, instrument flight rules, IMC, instrument meteorological conditions, and that's both a ceiling and a visibility. So the ceiling, that broken layer or overcast, and the visibility, which has to be at least 3 miles to be in visual conditions, as they say. Here in Southeast, it's more to do with the low ceilings than it is the visibility. Yes, we get the fog. Yes, we get fog that is dense enough to close an airport. But more often, what we have is the low ceilings. At least that's been my observation flying around the area. So,
and you could even say that for all those folks that live on the hillside, like at 400 feet, a low ceiling of 200 feet, while you've got a good visibility distance at the surface, those folks up there on the hillside, they're in the fog because they're in the cloud.
They're in the cloud.
It's all a matter of perspective.
That's right.
Jake, you and Nicole touched on this because you've been dealing with this all week. But again, going back to your forecast, what are the things you look for in forecasting fog? I think Nicole and Jake, you both mentioned, we've had a lot of rain, you've had some moisture, or the tide was in earlier and now it's kind of come out. Other than rain and moisture close to the surface, which is where fog occurs, what other things in the forecast do you look for?
So there are so many things that play a role in fog development. And
light winds is a huge one.
Yeah. The reason for those light winds playing a role too is because fog is also based a lot on the stability of the atmosphere, which stability is a topic for another podcast. We won't go into crazy detail with that. But
so in other words, to simplify, it just means that the atmosphere is very static. It's not really changing.
It's not changing a whole lot. Yeah.
And you mentioned light winds, Nicole. So there's nothing driving new atmosphere or atmosphere changes,
right.
I guess.
Something to move it in or out.
Yeah.
Stronger wind promotes
mixing,
which makes the atmosphere less stable. So
yeah.
That's about as much stability as I want to talk
there
about today. Stability from the light winds, that's really good. The other reason for that is, you know, besides that, is ways to get that moisture to the surface. It doesn't always have to be rain. You know, Nicole talked about the tides going out. Well, we have huge tides in Southeast Alaska, especially during the spring too. Snow on the ground with some rain ends up giving us a much easier threshold to kind of get that cloud at the surface because it promotes a really high humidity.
Yeah, snow on the ground, those are the days we have where the fog doesn't go away in the morning. It just lasts for sometimes like 3 days. You can get one of those really long duration fog events if there's snow on the ground.
And I know that both of you, Nicole, I remember you were emphasizing the fact that we're going into autumn. It's already September, and we're getting longer nights, and that allows our ground to cool. And you said that we typically get a lot of fog forming late at night and lasting into the morning. So that maybe that contributes to more fog this time of year as well.
So that's sure. Kind of your radiational fog. There's a couple types of fog.
What are the types of fog?
So there's radiation fog and evection fog. And this radiation fog is not like, you know, dangerous radiation or anything like that. All it really is the earth cooling at night, which everyone, you experience that. When's your hottest time? Well, it's during the day. When's your coolest time? Generally overnight, not every time.
The heat from the land radiates out. But if there's clouds overnight, we tend to be warmer. But if it's a clear night, as most people probably are very familiar with, it's able to get a lot cooler because that all the heat of the day can escape out into the atmosphere.
I almost like to think of a thick, you know, overcast cloud layer as a blanket for the earth.
Exactly.
It keeps it warm at night. But if you take that blanket away, it gets really cold. And that's when your radiational cooling is maximized, which promotes the radiational fog because you're saturating the atmosphere and making all that moisture right at the surface.
Yeah, that helps any moisture you have on the surface evaporate because all of a sudden you're temperature's cooler.
And then Rick, I know earlier you were using some aviation terms that a lot of the public may not hear that often, but you spoke of ceilings being overcast versus broken. And then you also hear the term scattered or something like that. We can kind of, I'm a big fan of analogies. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've already talked about ceilings. So I think of a ceiling as being a closed off room because everybody knows the ceiling up and down. Oh, that's about an 8-foot ceiling, that kind of thing. Well, in meteorology, an impactful ceiling is like anything below 1,000 feet, right?
Oh, yes.
And then, you know, going back to Jake's analogy about
the blanket.
So if a blanket were covering the sky as fog, then an overcast blanket would essentially be like a blanket over the entire bed and over your head.
Right.
And then a broken blanket, you know, you're still quite comfortable because the sheets are all the way up to your neck and you're cozy and it's warm and everything. And then
but you have a toe sticking out.
I don't think you have a toe sticking out. At least in my analogy, I do not do toes sticking out. But and then a scattered blanket, because sometimes we have scattered clouds. That would be
like wearing a sock on 1 foot.
Hopefully not. I think that would be few.
Yes.
But most people do not like sleeping when the blanket is up to their waist. That can kind of get chilly. And is that appropriate analogy, maybe?
Probably the easiest way to think about whether it's a ceiling is broken or mm-hmm. not a ceiling is scattered is think in terms of, okay, I've got enough blue sky that I can navigate from below this cloud layer to above this cloud layer and still have a good enough visual picture of the airspace around me that I can see and avoid other aircraft. So that's the big thing with a scattered layer. I can penetrate up or go through a scattered layer either up or down without having to resort to being on an instrument flight plan.
It's all about the line of sight, right?
Yep. It's all about how well you can see the other aircraft out there.
Right. Okay. Yep. And the best way to, you know, for the public out there, for most of you, when you hear overcast, you think of just cloudy skies. Right. When you hear
no breaks,
it's just sheer overcast. You cannot see any blue patches at all. And then a few blue patches out there or it might be turned mostly cloudy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then everyone out there has heard the term partly cloudy. That would be, in your case, no ceiling, right?
Correct. Partly clouding. There are clouds out there. You can mm-hmm. see them very easily, but it's not a ceiling in terms of the rules that we have to fly by.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in Jake's case of wearing one sock, that would be just like one lone cloud out there and no real worries out there. A nice, beautiful day to watch auroras. Right. Anything else?
Advection fog.
Advection
fog. Yeah. Oh, we brought up advection fog. We didn't really say what it was, though.
So. Nicole, advection fog. Where does advection fog generally happen in Southeast Alaska, and how is it different than radiation fog?
Folks out there will hear us say the marine layer over the Gulf frequently, and that is a case where we typically have high pressure holding in all the moisture out over the ocean, and obviously there's ample moisture there. You're never going to get rid of that through radiation. So a high pressure system will typically form a deck of either low clouds and or fog over the ocean. And that tends to sit there for days at a time. And if the wind shifts onshore, even a little bit, it can push inland. And the outer coast frequently gets those marine layer low clouds or fog first, like Yakutat, Sitka, Elfin Cove areas. And then typically with each subsequent night, the fog is able to be pushed or advected further and further inland. And usually like on the third day of a marine layer event, we'll even see some of those clouds getting in all the way into Juneau.
You know, I know in radiational fog, we were saying that light winds are optimal, mm-hmm. but in advection fog, it sounds like because it's such a large mass, like you have a full marine layer, which encompasses the atmosphere all across the Gulf of Alaska, that, you know, wind bringing it in doesn't really dissipate it as much.
No, it can break it up a little bit, but mm-hmm. if it's say 10 knots or so, that's a pretty helpful to push it around, and it can really help push it further and further inland.
And Rick, you're our aviator. Quick, what is 10 knots in miles per hour?
It's about 13 miles an hour.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's good. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been, I know you guys have been really challenged with fog in the forecast, and we've issued some dense fog advisories this week.
Several, yes. Yeah,
several, quite a from few. Ketchikan all the way up to
Gustavus, Yakutat, Una.
Okay. Wow. All right. So Petersburg. It's been very extensive.
Yeah.
All right.
Widespread today.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you so much. And yeah, we'll see you all soon.
Thanks,
thank
you. Wes. And now it's time for our listener submitted question. But before we get to it, we would love to hear more questions from you. That's right, you. Please take out your smartphone and use a memo or recording app to voice your question. Then simply email it to juno.weather@noaa.gov. Again, that's Juno, as in the city, .weather@noaa.gov. We would love questions from all over Southeast Alaska. This week's question comes from Jeremy in Juneau, asking about the relationship between two of Alaska's favorite preoccupations, weather and the Northern Lights. And following Jeremy is David with the answer.
Hi, this is Jeremy Shea in Juneau. Visibility aside, do any weather conditions affect the likelihood of aurora borealis displays? And vice versa, do auroras affect weather conditions close to the ground? Thanks for taking my question.
Hi, Jeremy. This is David. Thanks for your question. So, while weather conditions do not directly affect auroras, those of us who have lived in Southeast Alaska for some time know that weather can, and often does, affect the ability to view auroras. So, since we average over 60 inches of precipitation a year, there are many times when our ability to see auroras is hampered by cloud cover and rain. Additionally, the amount of daylight during the summertime can hinder viewing due to light pollution. But to answer the second part of your question, auroras occur due to electrons colliding within the upper reaches of the Earth's atmosphere. This occurs at heights of 80 to 500 kilometers, or 50 to 300 miles, which is well above the region of the atmosphere where our weather occurs. The strong solar storms which cause auroras can also affect electronic devices such as GPS. So if you're relying on, say, your InReach device during a solar storm, you might expect some disruption. But in terms of weather, auroras really don't affect the weather too much. For more information on space weather, such as auroras, you can visit the Space Weather Prediction Center at swpc.noaa.gov.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. Thanks for joining us, and please stay tuned as we will release another episode of Weather Seekers next Friday. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter by searching NWS Juno, or visit our website weather.gov/Juno to get next week's episode and to stay in touch with the forecast. Weather Seekers podcast was produced Friday afternoon, September 6, 2019, by meteorologists from the National Weather Service Forecast Office in Juneau, Alaska. For the latest weather information, please visit weather.gov/Juneau. Again, weather.gov/Juneau. Be safe out there and never let the weather ruin your day.